All right, we're going to start on the top of Daf Lamed Amud Aleph by the Mishnah, the new Perek of Shuat Eidut. Shuat Eidut is actually within the Parsha of Korban Olah V'Yoreid. We just discussed Shuat HaBitui. Within that same Parsha is also found a Pasuk which describes the obligation of Shuat Eidut. And that's on Vayikra Perek Hei, Pasuk Aleph. V'nefesh, ki techeta, v'shama kolala, v'hu eid, o ra'a, o yada, im lo yagid, v'nasa v'no. That a person who knows testimony has to then come and give that testimony, and he cannot deny the fact that he has testimony to give, or take a shua to the effect that he will not give testimony in this instance. So that's what we call shuat ha'idut, and here the Mishnah is going to describe to us the qualifications or the different situations in which shuat ha'idut appears. Once we finish the Mishnah, we'll discuss it again, what exactly or why it is that shuat ha'idut is chayav over here. So the Mishnah says, shuat ha'idut noheget be'anashim velo benashim. It is by men, but not by women, obviously, which it's not so obvious, but it's obviously because women are not arpsulot le'idut, and that's what we're going to see in the Gemara. Gemara is going to spend some time figuring out how that is, how do we know that that's the case. That's what we discussed yesterday with regards to how could Dvorah be a shofetet if we know here that nashim are psulot le'yot edim. Birachokim velo bikrovim, it can be with people who are not relatives, because relatives also psule edut. Biksherim velo psulim, as if someone who is kosher le'edut, and not someone who is pasul le'edut. Right? And ve'enu neheget ele broim la'id, it only works by people who can't make testimony, because the pasuk says, v'nefesh ki techeta v'shma kol ala, v'hu eid o ra'av yadayim lo yagid v'nasa v'no. Im lo yagid means he doesn't say it over. The implications of that are, im yagid, if he did say it, he would make a difference in the case. So someone who makes a difference in the case is someone who's obligated here in the case of Shvat Eidut. Someone's not going to make a difference in the case if they're relatives. If they are Psule Eidut, in that case, there's no obligation of Shvat Eidut, because even if they brought their Eidut, they would make no difference. They have no implications on the case itself. Now, this is true Mipi Atzmo. He can take Shvat Eidut from himself, and he can be the initiator of the Shvua. And this is what we saw yesterday. This was quoted the Mishnah and the Brisa, the steer we saw yesterday. According to Rabbi Meir, when it's Mipi Acherim, if others are the initiator of the Shua, they say, listen, do you have testimony? They say, we don't have testimony. And then he says, Mashbi'ani Aleichem. And the other individual says, I am being Mashbi'a you, that you don't know any testimony. And they say, yes, Cain or Amen. Over there, we say that that can only be b'fnei Beis Din. That has to be in Beis Din if others are to initiate or create the Shvua, according to Rabbi Meir. V'chamim omrim, on the other hand, the chamim say, ben b'pnei atzmo, ben b'pnei acherim, einan chayvim, ha'yishchperu behen b'beit din. Shvuat ha'edut is only applicable inside of Beis Din. Outside of Beis Din, there is no Shvuat ha'edut. All right, that we'll see later, and the Gemara is going to discuss this a little bit, but basically, I'm just, from a broad overview, you could understand the difference, which is here we're talking about something that has to do with the process of Beis Din, Eidut, testimony, which is something as part of the procedures of Beis Din, and therefore, if someone's outside of Beis Din, we don't take it as seriously, or they don't take it as seriously when they take a Shavua. It's only when they're faced with the Beis Din, and in front of Beis Din, they're willing to lie to say they don't have Eidut, and take a Shavua to that effect, that type of offense is something that is under the category of Shavuat Eidut, as opposed to outside of Beis Din, where we don't have all the formality, right, and all the procedure of Beis Din. There, maybe it's not such an affront to the institution of Beis Din because it's not in Beis Din. V'chayavin al zdon shvua v'ashigigata. The shvua itself can be either b'mezid or b'shogeg im zdon eidut. But they have to remember that they have eidut. I mean, that they have to know that they have eidut over here. As long as they know they have eidut, and they say, okay, despite the fact that we know we have eidut, we're taking a shvua that we're not going to do it, or we refuse to come, or that we're denying that we have eidut over here. That's zadon shvua and zadon eidut. Because, remember over here, as opposed to the other two instances of Karban Olah V'Yoreid, which is Tumat Mikdash Ukdoshav, and the case of Shvat Bitui, there in both those cases it says V'Ne'alam, that they forgot. Over here, there's no V'Ne'alam, there's no forgot, and therefore it's here, it's even B'Mezit. If he knows that he intentionally does it, as long as he knows that he knows the Eidut, either if he intentionally takes the Shua, or B'Shigigata. What's the Shogeg over here? That was the case we saw previously by Munbaz, which is that he's Shogeg by Karban. He knows that he has Eidut. He knows he's not allowed not to take a Shavua, but he doesn't know the punishment for that is bringing a Korban. That's classified as Shogeg over here. So the Shogeg and the Zadon refer to the Shavua itself, but the Eidut, he has to know that he has Eidut. if they're shogegin, then there's nothing to discuss over here. Now again, shogeg over here is similar to what we saw with Rav Asi and Rav Kahana, which is if you forgot that you knew Eidut. When you forgot you knew Eidut, over there you're considered anusin. Just like Rav Kahana and Rav Asi, when they knew, they were taking shvuah legabe what they thought Rav said, then Rav said, libcha nascha. That you thought that that's what you thought was the case, and you took a shvuah in that case, that's considered anus. And therefore there's not even a punishment here, you're not even under the category of shvuat Eidut anymore. And if there is a dona shvua, right, then what is the punishment? Korban ole v'yored. And that's the, we have, it's found in the parsha. This is the third of the categories that are found in the parsha of korban ole v'yored. I mean, it's really the first that's mentioned there, but the third one we're discussing, which is shvuat ha'idut. Now, in taking a step back here about shvuat ha'idut, one has to ask a simple question, which is why? Why is a person chayav? What did the person do over here that makes them obligated in terms of taking shvat eidut and then punishable for denying the fact that they have eidut? So here's a machloket rishonim, a very fundamental machloket rishonim, whether there's an obligation to testify in court or not. Is there an obligation to testify in court? Now, if there is an obligation to testify in court, many of them, or those rishonim that do say this, some of them learn it out from here, our sugi over here, which is that the fact that a person who denies eidut is therefore punished, so it must mean that there is an obligation to give eidut or to be moser eidut. So in that case, if the underlying premise is that one is obligated to give eidut, and then they take a shvuah to deny it, then we understand what the, you know, shvuat eidut. Shvuat eidut derives from the fact that there's an obligation to testify, and one takes a shvuah that they will not testify or they do not have testimony, then they're going to be chayav. The other option, which is their other rishonim, believe there is no obligation to testify in court. There's no obligation to testify in court. You are punished here for shvuat ha'idut, but that's because of the loss that you cause to the other party. There's a loss that you're causing to the other party by not testifying over here. So whereas according to the first Rishonim, we say there's a mitzvah la'ayid, over there the problem is a mitzvah ben adam la'makom. And therefore the violation of the mitzvah ben adam la'makom requires, when you take a shvuah and you exacerbate the situation, when the violation of not giving testimony, that's when you bring a korban. According to these other Rishonim, we say there's no chiyuv or obligation to give testimony. The problem here is the loss that you're causing to someone else. You have to rectify the fact that you now basically cause someone else a problem or a loss. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have to rectify that problem to straighten out the din. And because of your lack of eidut, that's why you bring a korban over here. That's why the shvat eidut is problematic, is because of the lack of, I would call it respect or care or concern that you have for your fellow Jew, that you don't come and testify over here, and that's what obligates you in Shvat Eidut. Now we'll see later in today's daf, and one could make a chiluk here between Dine Mimononos and Dine Isurim. It might be that both are true, that maybe when it comes to Isurim, there's an obligation to testify, and that obligation stems from the fact that one must be an aid. By Dine Mimononos, maybe over there there's no din or obligation of testifying, but rather that stems from the fact that you're causing a loss to your friend. And the obligations might be different. It might actually, you might have to differentiate the obligation of an individual to testify in cases that are ben adam le chaveiro, where we're talking about an adjudication of a monetary matter. Over there, maybe there is no obligation to testify, except for the fact that it's a shavas aveda, that you're causing your friend a loss. On the other hand, when it comes to Isurim, when it's been a dan makom, and it has to do with things of Isur, whether it's causing a defense and saving someone's life, or in a case where it has to do with what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to happen, there maybe there's an obligation for you to testify, and that obligation doesn't stem from the loss, but simply from your obligation to do what the Torah says. So you could differentiate along those lines. We'll see, I'll show you later on in today's daf, the possibility of that coming up. But just, you have to be aware of that with the background to Shvat Eidut, and we'll see along the way, we'll point out different cases or different gemarot that lean in either direction about whether there really is an obligation to testify in court or not, and why is it that one is chayav in Shvat Eidut? What is so severe here that we have a separate category called Shvat Eidut? Right now the Gemara asks, the question is, Menahane Mile? Menahane Mile is on the first thing in the Mishnah, which is, how do you know that Nashim, women, cannot be Eidim? Where it says, because the Tanah Banan, it says, V'adu'u shnei anashim, asher lehem arif, says that the two people, asher lehem arif, those people that have the litigation, or those who are contesting whatever between them, then they come, and amdu shnei anashim, they stand. So those are shnei anashim. So now the Gemara says, or the Braisa here says, we're going to have three Braitot over here. We're going to have a succession of Braitot that all say the same thing, which is that the amdu shnei anashim is beidim akatuv medaber. Those shnei anashim over here are talking about the Eidim. Atah omer beidim, one elo balei dinim. Is it talking about the Eidim? Or is it talking about balei dinim? Keshu amer, afterwards says, asher lehem arif. those that have the quarrel. So it says, "Vamdu shnei Hashim asher lahem ariv." So asher lahem ariv is the litigants, because those are those who have the quarrel. So then separately, what is the amdu shnei Hashim? Harei banei dinim amur. If you said asher lahem ariv, already spoke about the litigants, then mani mekayim vamdu shnei Hashim. So what is the amdu shnei Hashim speaking about? It's talking about the beedim akotuv medaber. It's talking about the edim. Vim nafshecha lomar. If that doesn't satisfy you, nemar kan shnei. It says over here vamdu shnei haanashim. And then it says Nemar Lahalan Shnei, and also it says Al Pishne Edim, right? Or Al Pishne Edim or Shlasha Edim Yakum Davar. So therefore, you have a Gzeira Shava of Shnei Shnei. Malahalan Beidim, Afkan Beidim. Just like over there was talking about Edim, so too it's talking about Edim over here. So over here is Vamdu Shnei Haanashim. So you see that when we spoke about Edim, who are the Edim that are coming? They are the Anashim, the men are the Edim, and not the women. That's how they have the Limud. So now the Gemara asks about the Breita over here. Why is it Mayim Nafshachalomar? So Gemara says Mayim Nafshachalomar. What does it mean Nafshachalomar? Why does the Brice have to bring that second proof, which is the Gzeira Shava? What was wrong with the first proof that we brought? And the problem is exactly what you just said, David, which is V'cheitem Medlo Katav V'Asher Lehem Arif. There's no Vav Achiluk, right? I mean that if you had a Vav, it would be a Vav Achiluk. Then you would say Vamdu Shnei Hashim V'Asher Lehem Arif, and those that are the litigants. The fact that there is no Vav Achiluk over here sounds like the Asher Lehem Arif is modifying Vamdu Shnei Hashim. Who are the Shnei Hashim? Those that are Asher Lehem Arif, which is what you said, David. The Pshat and the Pasuk is that they're talking about the Bali Dinin. So if you want to learn Pshat and the Pasuk, and we're talking about Bali Dinim over here, Kuli Krab Bali Dinim Ishtai, they're all talking about Bali Dinim. Then, if that's the problem and you don't like our Limud, then Nemar Kan Shnei, V'Nemar Halan Shnei, Malhan Beidim, Afkan Beidim. Then I have the Gzeira Shava. So my backup is the Gzeira Shava. I try to make the limud out of the pasuk, even though that's against the pshat of the pasuk. And if you don't like it because you think the pshat of the pasuk is otherwise, then we'll go with the gzeira shava. All right, Tanya idoch, another brisa. This is another attempt, which is vamdu shnei anashim beidim akotu medaber ataumer beidim unelu bevali dinim amarta v'chi shnayim baim ladin shlosha ein baim ladin. Well, wait a minute. When you say shnayim, the relevance of two and the significance of two, that makes sense when you're talking about Edim. When you're talking about Bali Dinim is many people who are party to the case will show up to the litigation. Why is two relevant over here? V'im nafshel cholamar, and if you don't like this, again, nemar kan shnei, v'nemar lahalan shnei, ma lahalan beidim, afkan beidim, it brings the gzera shava. So the Gemara asks, ma'im nafshel cholamar, what's wrong with the first limud that you want to go to the gzera shava? If you want to say, in every case involves a toveya v'nidva. There's a claimant and there's a defendant. Meaning that every case involves two parties. Now, it might be that the two parties consist of multiple people. There's a class of people that are the toveya and a class of people that are nidva. But there, betoveya v'nidva kamishtai. But then there's still shtayim. There's always two sides to every case. So if that's what you think, that the pasuk mishtai kra, nemar kan shnei, v'nemar halan shnei. Then we have the gzera shava to back us up. Malein edim, afkan beidim. So we have the backup of the gzera shava. Tani idoch, we have another braiso. Again, vamdu shnei anashim. Beidim akadu medaber, ata omer beidim, oin ala bele dinim. Which one is it? Amarta v'chi anashim baim ledin, nashim ein ba'ot adin. As litigants, we know that women will show up in Beis Din, and men show up in Beis Din. What? Women don't have court cases? Women don't have claims? Women don't have cases where they have to be in court? So why would it be Amdu Shnei Anashim? Why would you limit litigants to men and not to women? So obviously we must be talking about Edut and not talking about the litigants over here. V'im nafshecha lomar. Again, if you don't like this, or if you want to say Nemar kan shnei v'nemar lahalan shnei, just like here it says Amdu Shnei Anashim, there it says Al pi shnei edim or shlosha edim yakum davar, ma lahalan beidim, afkan beidim. So again, the Gemara asks, "Ma'im nafshecha lomar?" Why would you not like the limud of Amdu Shnei Anashim? It's not talking about the Bali Dinim, but rather it's talking about Edim. V'chiteima isha lav orcha. Then no, the reason that the women are not mentioned as litigants over here is not because they don't have litigation, not because they don't have court cases, but because it's not normal. It's not the everyday that the women are in court, because mishum kol kvoda bat melech pnima, right? That women are generally tznuot. Right, they generally don't go out into public appearances and situations that are of public nature. Therefore, it says here, Vamdu Shnei Anashim, which is Orcha de Milsa. That's the normal. Normal cases will be between men and not between women. But in Achanami, there could be women there. So the Anashim is not exclusive. So if you don't like that proof that we have from here, Nemar Kan Shnei, V'Nemar Lan Shnei, Malahan Beidim, Afkan Beidim. Tosfos asks the question over here. Well, if you want to make this claim of kol kvoda mat melech pnima, then if you want to say it about the bali dinim, you could say it about the edim as well. Right? I mean, why is that logic not applied to edim? If you want to say that it says anashim by the bali dinim because of kol kvoda mat melech pnima, you can make the same claim by the edim. The reason the Torah put anashim there is because in normal cases, normal situations, the men will be the edim. Not because it's coming to exclude women, but it's just talking about the normal case. So Tosfos differentiates between the cases and says, no, it's very clear. When can you make this claim of Gvodah Melech Pnima is by litigation. By litigation, you don't have to be in person in the court. When you are a claimant or a defendant, you can send someone else to represent you in the court, or you can bring your claims forward through a third party. There's no obligation of that. You personally speak your claim. On the other hand, by Edim, there's a requirement of that mipi aid. That has to be from the words have to come. There's no such thing as hearsay. There's no such thing as an affidavit. You cannot do it. Aid mipi aid. You have to be personally there to testify. So the excuse of kol kvoda melech pnima and talking about orcha de milta, that's relevant by litigation because the woman has an alternative. But here by idut, where there is no alternative, there you can't make the claim of orcha de milta of kol kvoda melech pnima because, right, there is no alternative. The woman, in order to testify, must show up in court, and therefore you can't claim about the case of Orcha de Milsa of Ko Kvoda Met Melech Pnima. So it also differentiates between Eidut and the cases of the Balei Dinim, and therefore the Gemara over here is willing to say it's Dafko by the Eidut, where it's not so by the Balei Dinim. All right, so there we have three Breitot, and they all came to the same conclusion, which is that Nashim are Psulot the Eidut. All of them tried through a logical argument in the Pasuk, whether it's from a formulation of the words or some other logical argument. And then the Gemara says, if you want to reject them, all of them have a weakness. And rejecting that weakness, they all came to the Gzera Shava, which is Shnei Shnei. And therefore, you have a Gzera Shava that tells us that we're talking about the Edim in the Pasuk. And therefore, the Pasuk which limits it or modifies Vamdu Shnei, the Edim, to Anashim, that's limited to Anashim and not to Nashim. And therefore, only Anashim are Ksherim Leidut, and not Nashim, and they pull Yotzei. From that, there's an our mission over here, which is that Shuot Eidut will have relevance by men, and not by women, because women will not be Kasher Gesherim Leidut, not Kasherim Leidut. They can't violate Shuot Eidut. Okay, now the Gemara says, Tanra Banan, Vamdu Shnei Anashim. When it says, Vamdu Shnei Anashim, mitzvah, the Balei Dinim Shiamdu. So there's a mitzvah to the litigants to stand. Now it's clear here, and David, to your question before, even if we say in the end, Vamdu Shnei Anashim is referring to the Edim, the Pashtut Pasuk is that the Shnei Anashim here are the Balei Dinim. And we're learning over here, Bryce is learning a din, that the Balei Dinim must stand over here. Even though, again, we just learned that the Shnei over here is referring to Edim, there's Ein Mikra Yotzei Midei Pshuto, and you still have Vamdu referencing the Balei Dinim as well. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Shmati, I heard. So that's not the case. That's not necessarily true. Shem Ratzulo Shivet Shnehem Moshivin. You can allow for both of them to sit. There's no obligation on the Balei Dinim of the litigants to stand. What is the obligation over here? Ezu Asur, what is problematic? Shlo Yechad Omeid V'Echad Yoshev. You can't have disparity between the litigants. Echad Medaber Kol Tzorcho. You can't have one standing, one sitting, one who speaks everything he wants. V'Echad Omer Lo Ktsar Devarech. And the other one you say, you know, hurry up, come on, finish up what you have to say. I mean, we can't see any bias by the judges towards one of the litigants over here, because that would make the person who is getting the short end of the stick feel that either nistaimu tanutav, that he's not able to express himself fully, he's not coming to a full explanation of his position, all the problems that he could have because he feels like the judgment or the judges are favoring the other party, that will cause imbalance in the din, and that's improper. So Tanu Banan, what do we know that? Tzedek tishbot et amitecha. You have to betzedek tishbot amitecha. What does that mean? Shado yehei echad yoshev v'echad omeid. Echad medaber kol tzorcho v'echad omer lo ktsar dvarecha. So again, tzedek tishbot amitecha, here the source for the fact that there can't be discrepancy in the Balei Dinim is coming from tzedek tishbot amitecha and not from du shnei hanashim. Before, the limud was Amdu Shnei Anashim wasn't literally that they had to stand, but there had to be equivalence between the two Anashim. The two litigants had to be treated similarly, which is that they both had to stand, or they both sit. Not that there's an obligation to stand, but there's an obligation to treat them similarly. Here we have a brace that learns that out from Tzedek Tishbot et Amitecha, that you have to do things justly. Justly means that you have to treat each party in the same manner. That's called just, that each party is given the same rights and the same procedures. Davar Acher, this is an important din, which is Betzedek Tishbot Amitecha, Avidan et Chavecha Lekaf Zchut. There's an obligation to be done Lekaf Zchut. So now, when it's when it comes to Danakav Schut, as Rashi points out over here, we're talking about an action that is ambiguous. We're talking about an action that's ambiguous. You could look at the action and say, well, we could look at this action positively, we could look at it negatively. In that case, you're obligated to look at it to the positive side. The Rabbeinu Yonah, in Masechet Avot, when it comes to Havi Dan L'Kav Zchut, over there, categorizes or lays out three categories when it comes to Dan L'Kav Zchut. In that instance, he says, that depends on who we're talking about. If we're talking about a Tzadik Gamur, if we're talking about someone who is known to be a person of integrity, a person whose tzikut goes before them, over there, there's not only, but we don't just say Machriel Kaf Zchut when there's an ambiguous situation. There we say in all situations you have to be Dan L'Kav Zchut. That means even if he does something that is overtly looks terrible, you still have to give him the Kaf Zchut, because either one of two things. Either you have to assume that he's a person of integrity, a person of a tzidkut, and therefore whatever he's doing, we don't understand and really is proper. Or, even if it was something wrong, he's already done tshuva. Because as a person of integrity, will always, something he does wrong, he'll rectify it immediately, and he's done tshuva. So therefore, the obligation in that instance is to always go l'kav zchut, even when the situation or the circumstance look totally the opposite, look like there's no other way to explain them except in the negative form. That's one category. Other category is someone who's a rasha, someone who's a thief or a gazlan. Someone's a thief or a gazlan, over there, there's no obligation, right, to be dan l'kav zchut whatsoever, even in a situation where it seems maybe there's some ambiguity to it. For, you see, your friend, your next-door neighbor is out, he's gone away on vacation, and all of a sudden you see this well-known gazlan walking out of the house with a bunch of the silver. So over there, you don't say, you know, maybe he came to polish the silver, he's doing me a favor, he's going to polish the silver, and he's going to bring it back. Over there, there's no obligation to be dan l'kav zchut. That's stupidity. There you have to say that the guy's a thief. He's come to steal. Over there, there's no obligation to be down the kaf zchut. Over there, you have to get down to the bottom line and take care of the situation and stop him from taking the items. On the other hand, what the case of down the kaf zchut, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, is that middle case. We're talking about a Benoni. We're talking about someone who's not, you know, like, you know, average person like myself. You're looking at this, you do some action, and then there's some ambiguity to the action. So if you have ambiguity to the action, now what do we do? You can make a decision to look on the positive side, you can look on the negative side. Over here, that is where the obligation of Dan L'Kav Zchut comes in. That you have to look justly, you have to always look for the tzedek, you always have to look for the right side of Amitecha, is over here. When you have a person who's a Benoni, and there's an ambiguous situation, that is when we have the obligation of Dan L'Kav Zchut. So again, the Rabbeinu Yonah in Avot, if you want to look at it, lays out these different categories, but we should narrow it down. It's important to know when it applies, and then it does not imply in every situation that we say Dan L'Kav Zchut. All right. Now, Tani Rav Yosef, B'tzedek Tishpot Amitecha, Am Shitcha B'Torah B'Mitzvot, Hishtalel L'Dono Yafeh Yafeh. When it comes to B'tzedek Tishpot Amitecha, Amitecha means your friend. So here it means that if there's someone who is like you, a Talmud Chacham, if you're the judge, and there are others like you, Talmud Chacham, you should go out of your way to make sure that he gets the best judgment. So now what does that mean? Ravula Breder Rav Ilai, Havalei Dina Kameder Rav Nachman. He had a case in front of Rav Nachman. Sholach Le Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef sent ahead, Ula Chavareinu, Amit B'Torah Mitzvot. He's a good friend of ours, right? He's an upstanding citizen. He's a Mekayim Torah and Mitzvot. He's a Talmud Chacham. So this is what Rav Yosef sent ahead to Rav Nachman, who was going to be the judge in the case. So Amar Lamaila Shalachli. Why did he send this to me? Rav Nachman's asking, what is he sending me this information for? He says, Lachnufile? What is it? He wants me to patronize him somehow? He wants me to give him favors? I mean, what exactly does he want me to do in the case? I have to adjudicate the case according to the Emet. What is he telling me that this person is the Talmid Chacham? So I said, Hadar Amar, then Rav Nachman thought about it and says, you know what? Lemishrei B'Tigre. Over here, it's to move his case up in the docket. Right, this is an important thing. If there's a case of a Talmud Chacham here, and you have other cases here, the case of the Talmud Chacham takes precedence. Tosos gives two explanations. One of them, to me, is very difficult. One of them is if you have two cases come simultaneously to the docket, then we give precedence to the case of the Talmud Chacham. But if there are other cases that are already there, we don't defer the other cases in order to bring the case of the Talmud Chacham forward on the docket. That we don't do. It's only a case where there's two cases simultaneously, right, show up, then we say precedence to the Talmud Chacham. Tosis brings a second possibility where it's even in the face of other cases, we give precedence to the case of Talmud Chacham and we move him up on the docket. Again, I think that's just bad precedence, and it's bad. It looks really bad. I mean, that even if it may be the case is that we should give kavod to Torah, and you should do such a thing, I think from an outsider's view, it's a very, very bad precedent to set, and it sends a bad message to people in terms of people then think that you're favoring their kind, you're favoring people who are similar to them, or favoring Talmidei Chachamim in some way, and I think it leaves a very bad impression with people. So I personally am more favorably disposed to the other side in Tosfos, which says that it's only when the cases come simultaneously. But just be aware that Tosfos does bring the other possibility, which is that the case can be moved forward even in the face of other cases. Right, Inami, the other possibility why he needs to know it is a Talmud Chacham is L'shuda D'daini. Shuda D'daini is, again, Machlokes Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. We've seen this numerous times. But Shuda D'daini, we saw the cases. There are a case we saw in Ketubot. We also saw the case in Baba, I think Metzia we saw together over there, the cases of Shoda D'daini. But Shoda D'daini, Rashi says that in the end, if there is no conclusion to the case, we have no evidence in the end that lays us in one direction or the other, and we have, in that situation, it's up to the Dayanim to decide what should be the outcome of the case. So Rashi over there says that the Dayanim paskin based on their gut feel about who they think is right in this situation. They look at the evidence, and based on the evidence, they favor one of the two parties based on what they see in the evidence, even though there's no api halacha clear direction to one of the two sides. So that's according to Rashi, so Shoda D'daini. And so over here, was being said to Rav Nachman was, listen, this individual, right, Ula over here that's coming up, he's a Talmud Chacham, and therefore, if it comes to you the case where you have Shoda D'daini, and you're looking at the evidence of who should be believed more, who it makes more sense to trust over here, I'm telling you that this individual is a Talmud Chacham, a Chacham, a Tzaddik, and therefore maybe you should give more credence to what he says. Right, that's one possibility. That's what Rashi's pshat. Rabbeinu Tam, on the other hand, believes that Shoda D'daini means do what you want. The judge can basically toss a coin. He can decide whomever he wants to give it to. Over here, there are no more facts in the case. There's no more evidence to pull the case in either direction, and therefore it's up to the Dayan, period. That's it. The Dayan makes his own decision. Whatever it is, he makes the decision. So then over here, according to Rabbeinu Tam, what's the relevance that he's a Talmud Chacham or not? So this is what the Tosfos suggests over here, if you learn like Rabbeinu Tam in Shoda D'daini, the issue here is that the other litigant was also a Talmud Chacham in the case. And so all that Rav Yosef was doing was evening out the playing field. He was worried that in the case, if there's a novel Talmud Chacham, when it came to Shoda D'daini, then Rav Nachman would give it to the Talmud Chacham over there, because he could choose whomever he wanted, he would give it to the Talmud Chacham. So over here, Rav Yosef evened out the playing field by saying the other individual, Ula, is also a Talmud Chacham. So don't think that that's a reason to give it to the other party. So that's how he leveled the playing field over here, so that in the Shoda D'daini, when the D'daini makes up whatever he decides he wants to give it to, over there, they will not. It won't be determined by this factor of Talmud Chacham, because they are both in that category. Right now, Ula makes a statement, and then we had before a machlokas. We had a machlokas between the Tanakam and the Chachamim, who said that when it came to Amdu Shnei Anashim, that the Balei Dinim must stand. Rabbi Yehuda says that's not the case, that the Balei Dinim don't have to stand, they can even sit. So here, now Ula comes to qualify that machlokas. Amar Ula, machloket b'Balei Dinin. That is, their machlokas only revolves around the litigants. Aval b'Edim, divra kol b'amidah. Everybody agrees that the Edim must stand. Dichtiv, because it says, v'amdu Shnei Anashim. And we said before that Shnei Anashim is the Edim, and it says v'amdu, they must stand. So this is an amazing thing, by the way. Do you see what's happening over here? We have an amazing situation, which is that from this same exact pasuk, we are learning out, v'amdu shnei anashim, we're learning out that when it comes to the edim, they must stand up. And when it comes to the balei dinim, right, they don't have to stand up. That they're not obligated to stand up, at least according to the chachamim, at least according to the Tanakamo. In that case, they don't have to stand up. So now Tosfos explains why it is, because if you wanted to say that it referred to the Balei Dinim, it should write, Ushnei Anashim Asher Lehem Ariv Yamdu. The fact is that when it puts the Amdu, it puts it in front of the Shnei Anashim. So therefore, the Amdu is modifying the Shnei Anashim and not Asher Lehem Ariv. And that's how they differentiate. So even though Amdu Shnei Anashim and Pshat is really talking about the Balei Dinim, nevertheless, the Amdu is pulled towards the Shnei Anashim, which we determine to be a Dim, and not next to the Asher Lehem Arif, which is referring to the Balei Dinim in this case. And therefore, the Rabbi Yehuda is going to have a situation in which he believes that the Edim should stand, but the Balei Dinim don't have to stand. They can sit down in that case. All right, now the next qualification. Amar Rav Huna, machloket b'shat masa v'matan. This is machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim is all talking about during the time of the adjudication, the time of the case itself. B'shat gemar din, when they're reading the gemar din, when they're giving over the final verdict, in that case, divra kol dayanim b'yeshiva v'aledim v'amidah. The dayanim sit, and the litigants must stand to hear the right the verdict in this case, which is still kept into even in secular courts today. When it comes to the final decision of the of the jury, or if it's the final decision of the judge, they say all rise, rise, that the litigant or the person who has been the defendant over here must stand in order to hear what the verdict is. So that's the same thing over here, that he stands for the verdict. Dichtiv, how do we know this? Because it says Vayishiv Moshe lishvot et ha'am. So it says that Moshe sat to judge the am, v'yamod ha'am, and the people stood. What's interesting here, again, in the Pshat Pasuk, is not that v'yamod ha'am was not that they were standing before Moshe, because there it says v'yamod ha'am mibokar erev, it's that they were online. They were standing online, not that they were standing in front of him for the din. But nevertheless, the Gemara uses that to learn, to teach that Moshe was sitting, and those that were coming to adjudicate or to have their din before Moshe were standing in that instance. Lashon achrina or lishna achrina, another way to learn it out is machloket b'shat masa matan. There is a machlokus in Shad Masa Matan, but Shad Gemar Din, Devera Kol Dainim, Bishiva, Balei Dinim, Bamida. It's the same din that we just saw before, same qualification, except they learned it for something else. Daha, Edim, Kigmar Din, Domu. Because when it comes to Edim, the testimony of Edim have the same status as a Gemar Din. So since they are the equivalent of a Gemar Din, and we know the halacha by Edim is, by the Edim, Vamdu Shnei Anashim, they must stand. Therefore, if there's an equation between Edut and Gemar Din, if the Edim must stand, so too the Balei Dinim and the Gemar Din must stand up. All right, now we have another situation, very, very interesting case, which actually has implications to Halacha, and I'll bring you an interesting tshuva, which we've spoken about before, which is, Debitu de Rav Huna, Havala Dina Kamei de Rav Nachman. The wife of Rav Huna had a case before Rav Nachman. Amar Hechin Avid, what am I going to do here? I'm in a really difficult bind. Ikumi Kama, if I stand up to give her a kavod, mistatmon tanate de balidina, that's going to hurt the other litigant over here, because the other litigant is going to see that I'm favoring or giving some sort of kavod to her, and that's caused him to be distressed or to be unable to speak his claims over here. If I don't stand for her, she's the wife of a chaver, and she has the same status as a chaver, and I'm obligated to stand for her. And then I'm going to violation of not standing for her. So Amalei, so he came up with a solution. Amalei the Shamei says to his servant, go ahead and shoo or throw a goose at me, right, at the time that I'm at the Gemar Din, and send it in my direction, and I'll stand up to, like, as if I'm avoiding the goose, or I'm getting out of the way of the goose. And through that, it'll be as if I'm standing, so I'm not problematic because I'm standing up. But it won't, to the other party, it won't look like I'm standing up because of the kavod to her, but rather because of the situation with the goose over here. Obviously, there's a number of questions that arise here. Tosos raises some of the questions, which are, first of all, when you need to stand up, you have to have kima sheyesh bahidur. The person whom you're standing for must know that you're standing to give kavod to them. Over here, if it looks like he's standing up for the goose, then how does the wife of Rav Kahana, Rav Huna, have any idea that he's standing because of her? He's just standing up because the goose is over there. So Tosfos give one answer possibility is that she knows. She knows. She understood what the situation was. She could intuit what was happening, and therefore she understood that he was standing up for her, but he had to give the excuse of the goose in order to prevent there being disparity with the other Baal Din. And then the Antosis gives a second answer, which is that there are actually three different situations, or three categories over here. We thought there were only two options. One is to stand up for a Talmud Chacham, or the wife of a Talmud Chacham. The other one is to sit down and be in violation of this. Tosfos says there's also something in a middle category called a neutral category. There's a possibility, if you sit, that's a violation of the obligation to stand and give yirah and kavod towards a Talmud Chacham. If you stand, then you're mekayim the mitzvah of standing before a Talmud Chacham. On the other hand, if you stand, but in a manner that doesn't necessarily show hidur kavod, then you're not in violation of not giving kavod to a Talmud Chacham, because you're standing. You're not sitting in front of them. On the other hand, you have not mekayim the mitzvah of standing. So what Tosfos suggests over here is Rav Nachman solved the problem by having himself be standing, even though maybe it wasn't directed as kavod towards the Eshet Rav Huna, but nevertheless, the fact that he was standing was not an affront to her over here, that he was sitting down because he wasn't sitting anymore. So he created that situation where he was in that neutral category of not being seated in front of a Talmud Chacham, but he didn't stand for her so that wouldn't cause a disparity with the other litigant in this case. So now the Gemara says, wait a minute, how could he do this? V'amamar, machloke b'shat masav matan. We know when it comes to the Gemar Din over here, right, then the Dayanim must be seated, and the Balei Dinim have to be standing. So what? The question could have arisen, or the whole case could have arisen, when she showed up in court, that he was going to stand up for her then. But here the Gemara clearly thinks that the issue, or the time period in which this problem arises, is at the Gemara Din. And that's because at the Gemara Din, the judge himself must be seated. And therefore, because of the judge, because of the case and the judge here, the woman, which is here, is Eshet Rav Huna, must stand, because she's a Baal Din, and she must stand before the Dayan. So because of Rav Nachman, he was causing Eshet Rav Huna to have to stand. And that was the problem. In the Gemara Din, where he is obligated to sit, and she is obligated to stand, it's clear because of him, she must stand up. And that, again, is an affront or a problem in a lack of kavod towards the Talmud Chacham, towards Rav Huna, in forcing his wife to be standing when he was seated over here. So now the Gemara challenges that and says, okay, but we learned when we learned this about a Gemara Din, right, by Gemara Din, that the Dayan has to be seated down. How does Rav Nachman all of a sudden get up over here? How is he standing up in this situation? So Gemara says, the Yotiv command the Shari Mesane. Over here, again, he's sitting like one who's tying his shoelace. Again, he did not stand up fully. He only stood up in a partial manner. And again, this goes back to Tosfos' issue over here, which is that when he stands up in a partial manner, he may not, again, be accomplishing the standing up for a Talmud Chacham. But he's also not seated in this instance. And therefore, if he's not seated in this instance, that's not an affront or not a problem of lack of kavod towards the Talmud Chacham. So again, he's in that neutral category. And therefore, when he sat up, like he's tying his shoes, and then he says, Amar ish ploni ata zakai, ish ploni ata chayav, he reads out the din, he gives the Gemara din in that position so as not to be problematic. He's basically, right, a compromise between standing and sitting. He's in this halfway seated position or leaning over type of position, which is somewhat like standing, but somewhat like sitting in these instances over here. Right, the Gabe, the Din, it has a Shem Yeshiva, but the Gabe, the Talmud Chacham, it's not Yeshiva in the sense of an affront to the Talmud Chacham, that you're not completely seated. Why are you forced to say we're talking about Gemara Din? It's clear that Gemara says that. It bothered me that I don't know why it has to say that, but it might be, and this is the answer here, that before we had the option, right, Rabbi Yehuda, you could seat the Balei Dinim, you could have them both stand up. So over there, and there also the judge has the option to stand or to sit in that case. The Gemara's problem over here is in the Gemara Din, where the judge is obligated to sit, and when he's obligated to sit, and she is standing because of him, and then we have a problem here, because then we have the imbalance, where it's because of him, she's standing, so that's a problem of an affront to Rav Huna, or the right, the fact that Rav Huna deserves this kavod. And on the other hand, it's a problem if he stands, because then he's in violation of the obligation of the Dayan to sit. So I think the Gemara Din exacerbates the problem. It's not that the problem may not exist in the other situation, but there you could rectify it in certain ways. Over here by the Gemara Din, there's no way to rectify it because of the obligation of the Dayan to sit and the obligation of the Baal Din to stand. Oh, that's what Tosfos says. Tosfos asks is over there. He says, if you look at Tosfos, I'm a Mar B'Shat Gemara Din. He could have seated her over here. Because the Kavod HaTorah you're allowed to allow the Balei Dinim to sit in this case. Even though they've finished already all the Ta'anot, there's still this idea of being Mistameim. There's still this idea, maybe because if he thinks of something to be Mehapech in his Chut, that he can still remember at that time. Or, I think the appearance of the judgment being favorable to one party over here is also problematic. Not even this time, I think there's that other aspect, perspective, which is the person, the litigant, will feel like the din was not done fairly towards him in this case. So, with another issue that's coming up, but he asks your question, and he says that Eino Chanami, that even at the Shat Gemar Din, there's still this problem of favoritism, and we still worry about the fact that there is a disparity between the parties. We don't want that to be in the Gemara Din, either from the problem of appearances or the problem of Nistam Tainotav. Maybe if he came up with another thing, he quickly had something to say, he could change the Din at that moment before the closing of the Din, before the Gemara Din, and that would stop him from having that ability at that moment. Okay, now, just quickly, before we move on to the rest of the sugyot, I've quoted you this tshuva before. Rav Shlomo Zalman discusses in a number of places the idea of Eshet Chaver and standing up for an Eshet Chaver. He speaks over there that he doesn't think there's any obligation to stand up for an Eshet Chaver. He doesn't think that one must stand for an Eshet Talmud Chacham. What about our case over here where Rav Nachman felt obligated to stand up for Eshet Rav Huna? He says that's only in this case where it's clear because of Rav Nachman, Eshet Rav Huna had to stand. And in that situation, he was seated and she was standing. That in that situation when there's a particular, it's clear that because of the party, the other party is forced to stand and the other one is sitting. In that case, it may be an affront and you have to stand up for an Eshet Chaver. But in general, one does not stand up for an Eshet Chaver. That's the first one. The more famous or amazing tshuva that is a discussion between the Tzitz Eliezer and Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach that is brought down in the Tzitz Eliezer. And as they're having a discussion, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach complains, or not the complaints, but discusses the situation that he used to get on a bus every day. And when he's standing at the bus stop, it turns out that there's a wife of a very famous Talmud Chacham at the bus stop with him. And he wants to give kavod to the Talmud Chacham by allowing his wife to get on the bus first. The problem is that we have a Gemara in Ervin and the Gemara in Brachot, which is that it says Achrei Ari, right? Velo Achrei Isha, right? Better to be by a lion than to be behind a woman. That it's inappropriate for a man to walk behind a woman. So now he's faced with this problem. He wants to get on the bus. He thinks the right thing to do, Miderech Eretz, is to allow the woman to get on first. But yet he's faced with the Gemara, or the other side of this Gemara, which is that an Eshet Chaver, by walking behind an Isha is inappropriate. So he asked that he had a discussion with the Tzitz Eliezer. They could not come to a conclusion. Later on, the Tzitz Eliezer writes to him that he found this Leket Yosher that he thinks answers the question. He sends his pshat to Rav Shlomo Zalman. Shlomo Zalman says he's very excited to hear from it. And then he gives his own pshat. And he says, this is what I think. I'll tell you what I think. I think that today, that if I don't walk behind the woman that's getting on the bus, I'll be walking behind another woman. There are women everywhere on the street. It's not like in the olden days. In the olden days where women were infrequently found on the streets, that's when they said, Achrei Ariv, lo Achrei Isha. That's when that statement is made, because over there was such an uncommon occurrence. Here today, where it's such a common occurrence, there, he says, even there are probably more women than men on the streets over here today. In that case, it's impossible. We don't walk behind this woman, we don't walk behind that woman. Doesn't make any sense. Of course, there's no freedom to obey Mahar hair or to do the wrong thing here. But nevertheless, we don't consider that factor anymore because that factor is really not like it was in the olden days. And so because of that, he says, I feel very strongly that I should give Derech Eretz comes first, and I should allow the Eshet Talmid Chacham to get onto the bus before me, even though, or despite the fact that the Gemara says in other place. He says, now that you show me the Leket Yosher, I have someone else ultimately smoch. I mean, the Rav Shlomo Zalman would be willing to do it on his own accord. But then he says to Tzitzilaz, I'm happy you showed me this Leket Yosher, so I have someone else who I can use to be Samechan in order to give the halacha. But you see how considerate, and you see the mind of Rav Shlomo Zalman, that he knew that the right thing here was to have the Derech Eretz. And the right thing was to give the psak in that way, and he was willing, even though despite what the Gemara says in his other instances, but he knew that in the circumstances that was the right thing, and that's what he did, or that's how he conducted himself when getting on the bus. He gave precedence to the Eshet Chaver. And again, like our Gemara over here, that there's a idea of giving kavod, or respect, to the Eshet Chaver. Okay. Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna, Hai Tzumri Rabbanu V'Am Aretz, Deidlehu Dina B'Hadei Adodi. You have a young Talmud Chacham and an Am Aretz have a case together. Motzvinan Lei the Tzumri De Rabbanan, Ul Am Aretz Namarmin Lei Tiv. We seat the Talmud Chacham, because that's appropriate for his kavod, and we say the Am Aretz also, you can sit too. I mean that because the Talmud Chacham is given the opportunity to sit, we give the Baal Din the opportunity to sit so they won't be in violation of disparity in the Din. V'kai late lemma, if he continues to stand, if the Amar continues to stand, decides to stand after that, we don't force him to sit down because we gave him the option of sitting down. Once we've offered him the option, the problem of disparity does not exist anymore. So Rabba Shrabya, Havale Dina Kamed Rav Papa, Otve. So he seated him down. Rav Papa let Rav Bar Shrabya sit down because he was a young Talmud Chacham. Votiv Nami the Bali Dine. And then he allowed the litigant or the other party here in the case to also sit down. Atashlicha de Beidin Botash Bey. The Shlich Beis Din came and kicked the other individual who sat down. And he says, Ukme Lam Aretz. He says, you stand. So now, V'lo Amar Le Rav Papa Tiv. And then Rav Papa didn't say it afterwards. You can sit. It's okay. You can sit down. Rav Papa never, right, interceded or overruled the actions of the Shliach Beis Din. So, Eichad Ovid Hochi, how can you have this? Now you have a disparity in the din. V'ha Mistatman Tanate. There you're going to see that he's not going to be able to make his claims because he sees that there is an unequal treatment here in the din. So, Amar Rav Papa, Meimar Amar Yihu Ha'ot Van. He says, he knows that I told him he could sit down. He knows that the judge said that he could sit down. He says, Shlichahu Delo Mefais Minai. Says that the Shliach Beis Din is acting on his own accord. He didn't listen to me. He wasn't paying attention to the, right? He wasn't paying attention to the judge, or he doesn't like me, so he's doing this. So the Baal Din here, or the Am Aretz here, can differentiate between the actions of the Shliach Beis Din and the judge. Who he needs to worry about is the judge. When it's not like the judge, he sees that the judge is even-handed over here. That's what he needs to know. As far as the Shliach Beis Din, that doesn't matter. He understands that there's a difference between the actions of Shliach Beis Din and the actions of the Dayan. Amar Rabba Rav Huna, Hay Tzurmi D'Rabbanan V'Am Ha'aretz, De'idlehu Dina B'Hadei Adadi, Lo Likdum Tzurmi D'Rabbanan V'Leitev. It shouldn't be, Tzurmi D'Rabbanan, the young Talmid Chacham, shouldn't come in first and sit down before the other party or before the case begins. Mishum D'Mechsei K'man D'Sadar Le'Le Dinei. Because it looks like he's like preparing his case, or that he's speaking to the judge ahead of time. It looks like he's taking advantage of the situation. And that is as long as he doesn't have a chavrusa or normally have a shear there. I mean, that if this is his Rebbe, and he normally has a shear that he goes to over there, we're not going to say him, don't show up in the base medrash, don't come to your normal shear. No, you come to your normal shear and you can continue. Then we don't worry about it, because then the Amarats also know that this is his normal place. He normally sits here anyway. And that's why he's here. He's seated here now. What we don't want is a situation where the Amarats thinks he's coming in specifically for the case and he's getting a head start or a jump on the other party. So Gemara says, Meimar Amar Bidnei Tarid, you'll say that he was involved in his learning, he was involved in his shiur, and that's he got stuck there, and that's why he's still here now. V'amar Rabba Bar Avuna, Haytzurma Derana Diada B'Saduta, V'Zilebe Milta L'Mezel L'Bei Dain. If a person, a young Talmud Chacham knows, or a Talmud Chacham knows testimony, and it's beneath his dignity to go and testify in this case, D'Zutamidei L'Azudei Kamei, right, it's less beneath his dignity to go testify in the case, either because the Dayan in the case is of a lesser stature than he is, or because it's over such a minor issue, right, it's beneath his kavod to come, then lo lezel, he doesn't have to come. So Amar Rav Sheshi Brei Rav Yidei, Afana Nami Tanina, we have a similar item in the Mishnah, Matzah Sako Kupa Vein Dar Kol Ito. Talking about an Aveda, when it comes to an Aveda, if he finds a sack or a Kupa Vein Dar Kol Ito, normally he would, for his own personal belongings, he wouldn't bend down to pick these things up. Then we don't obligate him to pick it up when it comes to an Aveda, or is it lo ito? So Gemara says, "Hani mila b'mona." That's only in monetary matters. Aval b'isura, when it comes to isur, ein chokma ve'ein tvuna ve'ein insan le'neged Hashem. Kol makom sheish chil Hashem, ein chokim kavod rav. Whenever there's a chil Hashem, we say no ends, ifs, or buts. You got to show up, even if it's beneath your dignity. You have to show up in order to testify over here in makomot of isur. So you have to say two things here. I'll point out two things from this Gemara based on what we started out with today. One is, first of all, here we're giving the individual an option to back out of giving testimony. Giving the option not to testify. Well, that sounds like there is no obligation to testify. Right? That there's no obligation to testify. And that's why we can make in this case, say to him, don't come and testify. It's beneath your dignity. Don't come and testify. You could answer, what the Gemara answers here, we also have an obligation of Aveda. Hashemah's Aveda is a mitzvah d'oraisa. But yet we see there's a dispensation. What's the dispensation in this case? The dispensation is that when it's beneath your dignity, then we don't make you do this. We don't make you do the Aveda. So maybe over here there's the same dispensation exists. Or maybe it is Aveda over here. The case is in a case of Aveda. So when it comes to an Aveda, the equivalent edut is equivalent of returning an Aveda. And therefore we apply the same din. When it's beneath your dignity, don't return the Aveda. When it's beneath your dignity, don't testify. When is it Aveda? That's when we're talking about dinei mamonos. That's when you're talking about a case of ben adam l'chaviro. When you're talking about a case of isur, there's no such thing as Aveda there. That's not Aveda. That's a case of ben adam l'makom. That's a case of chilul Hashem. Chilul Hashem, we don't discuss anymore whether it's beneath your kavod or not beneath your kavod. You come and testify. So again, that could be the distinction we discussed in the Mishnah, which is that maybe there's a difference between dinei mamonos versus dinei isur. By dinei mamonos, there's no obligation to testify except because it's an Aveda. In the case of Isur, there's an obligation to testify, period, because of Chilul Hashem. Nothing to do with Aveda, and therefore the din will be different in each of these instances. Again, when it's beneath his dignity, we'll have nafkaminot between what the obligation to come and testify in each of these instances is. Rashi points out, what is this case of Isur over here? What's the case of Isur? Rashi says, it's a case where an individual knows testimony about a woman, about her husband, something that has happened to her husband, and he has right, the Isha Bala Fnei Chacham Lahatira Li Naseh, she's an aguna, she wants to be permitted to marry. Talmud Zeh Yodesh Bala Chayin, he knows that her husband's still alive. So over there we say, show up and testify, otherwise this woman's going to end up getting married by mistake or be Isur. She'll be living be Isur and have Mamzerim. So there we say, go and testify, we don't want to have any Isurim. And Tosfos here discusses, makes a statement here, which is unbelievable, that this is considered a problem for you because osim yisur al yado. If you cause others to do yisur, mikre shevi al tase, that's not called shevi al tase on your part anymore. That's a kumase. It's your problem. If because of your lack of testimony, someone else is going to do an isur, that's a kumase. That's a problem for you, and you got to go testify. You can't just act in a shevi al tase and just say, you know what? I'm not showing up. I'm not going to testify. That doesn't work in this case. It's amazing standard that Tosfos says that if you cause others to do isurim, that you are considered as if the one that is to do it, but kumase, you're causing others to do isurim. Right now, Raviemar Aviadeli Saduto the Marzutra. Raviemar knew testimony from Marzutra. Atala Kameme Amemar. He came before Amemar, who was the judge in the case. Odvino Lukulu. He sat everybody down in the case. Ulo went only as far as to say that the machlokas is by the dinim, by the litigants. Everybody agrees that the witnesses must stand in the case over here. So how could you sit down? How could you seat Rav Yemar in this case? Rav Yemar is a witness. How could he sit down? He says, we have two assays, competing assays over here. Assay the Kvod HaTorah, Adif. When it comes to Kvod HaTorah, it's Adif. You have the assay of, what is this? The assay of testifying, it sounds like, right? So here it sounds like there is some sort of obligation to come and testify, or the essay of Amdushne Anashim, that if you do testify, one must stand up in this case, right? So it depends how you view what the essay is over here. The other essay is what? Giving kavod. That Hashem lekecha tirad l'rabot tamid hachamim, that you give kavod to tamid hachamim. So Gemara says you have a competition with two essays over here. Guess what? The essay of Talmud Torah is adif, that trumps. So therefore, Rav Yemar is allowed to sit in this case. And Josh, going back to your question before, that was what Tosos was discussing. It was you asked about the case of why in the Gemar Din is there still an issue of Tanotav over there. He was also discussing why does it matter about Eshet Chaver, should have given her precedence to sit down anyway because it was Kavod Torah adif. So there, Tosos answers two things: either Eshet Chaver doesn't get that standing of Kvod HaTorah, or maybe her husband already passed away. If her husband passed away, then we don't say Kvod HaTorah Adif anymore in that instance. Right now, the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Minayin LeDayan Shlo Yasis Negron LeDvarav. How do we know that a Dayan who paskins incorrectly shouldn't then afterwards try to figure out a way to defend his position? He should just retract it and correct what he said that he did wrong. Tamad Omar, Midvar Sheker Tirchak. Stay away from lying. Minayin LeDayan Shlo Yasheba Tamid Bur LeFanav. How do we know that a person should not have an apprentice, a young Talmud before him, who is a boor, who doesn't know anything? So Talmud Omer, Dvar Sheker Tirchak, stay away from Sheker, because over here he's going to give you bad advice. He's not going to help you with the questions, he's not going to help you get to the right psak, so you don't want such a Talmud before you. Minayin LeDayan Sheyodei LeChavero Shu Gazlan. How do we know if a Dayan knows that this individual is a Gazlan? V'chein Eid Sheyodei LeChavero Shu Gazlan. Or he knows that Eid knows that the other party is a Gazlan. How do we know that a Dayan knows that the other Dayan is a Gazlan and he shouldn't sit with him? Or a Eid knows that the other Eid is a Gazlan that he shouldn't testify with him, even though they know it's the truth? Meaning in the end, you're going to get to the truth and it's going to be the right outcome. Nevertheless, you should not join together with such parties because of Mitvar Sheker Tirchak. Stay away from people who lie. You got to stay away from the people who are not telling the truth and who act in this manner. And therefore, you cannot be mitzdareif. You can't bring yourself together. You cannot sit in the same din with a gazlan. You cannot be an aide together with a gazlan, even though it's going to affect the merits of the case or it's going to affect the outcome of the case over here. Minayin LeDayan, Sheyodei B'din, Shemirumeh. How do we know a Dayan who knows for certain that the din is going the wrong way? For whatever reason, he understands or he knows the truth about the situation, but he sees the case is going the other direction. How do we know that he can't allow this? Shalom Erhov Eidim Eidim Echtenu. Just because the Eidim are saying this, and a pi aloch or a pi what I have in front of me, I will have to impask in this way. Ve'kalor toloi b'tzavar Eidim. And let, you know what? The Eidim will be responsible for the wrong outcome. Let them take the punishment. Let them deal with the punishment. How do we know that he can't do this? Tamar lomar mitvar sheker tirchak. They got to stay away from lying. Meaning that you have to ensure that the din is the amito. There's an obligation that Dayan to ensure that the din comes lamito, even when the case is going the other direction. So he has to work on it. He has to do masamatan. He has to try to come up with questions, come up with a way to ensure that we come out with the proper conclusion to the case and not the way that the Edim are leading in this case. It's just interesting to contrast this with Shimon ben Shetach. If you remember Shimon Shetach, that they framed his son. Shimon Shetach's son, where they framed him and they brought Edim. And in the end, the Edim retracted their statement and said, we weren't telling the truth when we came. These Edim Zomamim who came to testify against the son, they said we were retracting. And over there we said that Edim, we learned in the Gemara Center, they're not allowed to retract their statements because they're going to be, what are we afraid of? We're afraid that they're going to say in the end, why do we need this? Why do we want to kill this person? We don't want to be responsible. We don't get in trouble. So therefore, we're going to retract our statement. So therefore, we do not allow the Edim to retract their statement. Right in the end, so over there it was a case by Shimon Shetach, by his son. They lied. They said afterwards, "Oh, we're lying. We don't allow them to retract the statement." And they killed the son of Shimon ben Shetach. Over there, Shimon Shetach knew that the case was not that right. Right, he knew that they didn't were lying because they came and testified, and yet he still adjudicated the case based on the edut and based on the halacha. There, he was koveh pi halacha. So contrast this with the Gemara over here, which says mitvar sheker tuchad. If you know that the din is merumeh, you don't allow the din to come to a conclusion where it's the wrong conclusion. So there has to be this balance, either this machlokas between the sugyot, or there has to be a balance between the case of upholding the veracity or the integrity of the edim and not allowing them to retract versus the ability to bring a din to its proper conclusion, to its proper end. All right, with that, we'll stop over here. We'll continue. There's a number of more limudim from Midvar Shekhar Terchak, which we'll continue with on the daf tomorrow.